Welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is study number 7 in the book of Exodus. And we are in chapter 9, verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessings to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to look at the fifth plague here in Exodus chapter 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go in to Pharaoh and tell him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me.'" God says they are my people, Pharaoh. I want my people. Let them go. God never demands anything that isn't rightfully his in the first place. Verse 2. "For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle, in your field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the oxen, and on the sheep, a very severe pestilence." Each of the previous plagues has been aimed at one of Egypt's gods. This plague actually hit two gods. The Egyptians worshipped bulls and cows. Look at verse 4. "And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. The Israeli cattle ate the same food, drank the same water, and breathed the same air as the Egyptian cattle. However, because this was an act of God, not an act of nature, only the cattle of his enemies were struck." Now you would think, wouldn't you, that Pharaoh would catch on? Verse 5. "Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, 'Tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land.'" No one but God can say with complete certainty, "Tomorrow this will happen." Actually, no one but God can say with certainty that tomorrow itself will happen. Verse 6. "So the Lord did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died." One by one, God is removing the Egyptian so-called gods from their thrones. He is destroying their credibility with these plagues. 7. "Then Pharaoh sent, and indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead, but the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go." Rebellion is destroying Egypt, and it is also dulling the king's mind. And it's all happening as God said it would. And yet Pharaoh just cannot seem to see that 1 plus 1 equals 2. Verse 8, "So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Take for yourselves handfuls of ashes from a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt.' Then they took ashes from the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses scattered them toward heaven, and they caused boils that break out in sores on man and beast." This is the first plague to hit the bodies of the Egyptians. Painful, oozing boils on both man and animals. And with this plague, God hits Isis, the goddess of healing. Where is she? She isn't doing her job, is she? And it's also an attack on Setna, the god who is supposed to protect Egypt from pestilence. He isn't there when they need him either. Nothing gods is all that they are. 11. "And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians and on all the Egyptians. The people of Egypt looked to the magicians for answers, but look at them, suffering like the rest. All they are is a bunch of cheap religious frauds. That's it. 12. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Pharaoh wanted sin, and he loved his hard heart. And here you see that God gave him what he wanted most. Pharaoh is doomed, and it's no one's fault but his. 13. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart, and on your servants and on your people, that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth.'" In other words, you think the previous plagues have been rough, but you haven't seen anything yet. Verse 15. "Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth." Pharaoh deserved death long before this. And God says, "I could have easily killed you by this time, king." Pharaoh's eternal doom is etched in stone. But God will keep him around. God will use him as a stage to showcase his mighty power and his hatred for sin and his justice. 17. "As yet you exalt yourself against my people in that you will not let them go. Behold, tomorrow, about this time, I will cause very heavy hail to rain down, such as has not been in Egypt since its founding until now." Rain was rare in Egypt. Hail was nearly impossible. The climate just does not allow for it. Well, it's going to hail. Verse 19. "Therefore, send now and gather your livestock and all that you have in the field, for the hail shall come down on every man and every animal which is found in the field and is not brought home, and they shall die." God is being gracious in the midst of his punishment. He warns them about the coming hail. If the Egyptians choose to believe God, they can take themselves and their cattle inside and be spared. You know, Pharaoh didn't care about his people. If he had, he would have repented long ago and spared his people. God cared more about the Egyptians than their own king did. 20. "He who feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his livestock flee to the houses. But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field." It all comes down to respect for God's word. Verse 21 again it says, "But he who did not regard the word of the Lord left his servants and his livestock in the field." These people had no respect at all for the word of God. None. And they're going to suffer as a result of it as well. Verse 22. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, on beast, and on every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt.' And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground, and the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. God put on a lightning and thunder show that night." Boy, I'll tell you what. You know, the weather is at God's disposal. He can use it as he wishes. He may use it to bless or to punish. It's his to use. 25. "And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail struck every herb of the field, and broke every tree of the field. They didn't believe it would happen. But every man and beast in the field was still struck down. They didn't believe it would happen, but every plant was beat down, and every tree was shattered. 26. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron, and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and my people and I are wicked. Entreat the Lord, that there may be no more mighty thundering and hail, for it is enough. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Sounds good. Pharaoh says all the right things. There's only one problem. He isn't sincere. Oh, he regrets the suffering, but he isn't repenting of his sin. 29. So Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will spread out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. The earth is not God, and the earth does not belong to any created being. It belongs to the Lord. God's control over nature, right here, with these plagues, proves that He owns it. He can do whatever He wants with it. 30. But as for you and your servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. Now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck, for they are late crops. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. Then the thunder and the hail ceased, and the rain was not poured on the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and hail and the thunder had ceased, he sent yet more, and he hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hard, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. Pharaoh must have thought, boy, that was a rough one. That was a rough plague. I almost didn't make it through that one, but I did. So he figures, safe to keep the Hebrews as slaves. You know, Pharaoh knew what Moses wanted to hear, and he knew the right words to say, but he didn't mean them. There are plenty of people like Pharaoh. They say what you want to hear in order to get on your good side. Very important to watch what people do over a period of time before you commit yourself to them. Let's go into chapter 10, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Moses, go in to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him. One of God's purposes for judgment is to show His power to unbelievers. By the time these plagues are over, the Egyptians will know that God is God. Verse 2. And that you may tell in the hearing of your son and your son's son the mighty things I have done in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. God also did these plagues to show His people His great power and His justice and His hatred for sin. God never wants His people to doubt His power. It's important for us to understand His mercy, but it's also important for us to understand His hatred for sin and His justice. And we can look at what God did to Egypt and tell others, see? See what happens when you turn your back on God? Verse 3. So Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Egypt is in ruins. So God asked Pharaoh, how much longer are you going to let this go on? Verse 4. Or else if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory. locusts. Locusts have four large teeth, which cross each other like scissors. They can chop and devour vegetation like a machine. Now, when you talk about a locust invasion, you are talking about an invading army. And that's what's about to hit Egypt, if they do not repent. That's the next plague on God's list. And we'll pick up our study in verse 5 next time and see what happened. Until then, so long, everyone.